come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
So let's pray. Father, we welcome you in this place, Lord. I thank you that we can worship you in so many different ways, that we can worship you with our words, we can worship you by reading your word, and we can worship you in our conversations with one another. I'm so thankful, God, that you have handpicked every single woman who's in this room right now to be in this room. You wanted her here today, not so she could hear me talk, but you wanted to bring her here so she could hear what you have to say to her individually. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to empty our minds of all the things we've thought about all day long. Maybe we feel like the girl in the movie where we feel like we're not beautiful. Or maybe we feel like the monologue that we heard from Mary Jo. Maybe we feel invisible and like nobody sees us. Lord, I pray that you would put on us who we are, that you would remind us tonight, Lord, and that through these words we would be refreshed in your presence. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad you guys are here. I just got back from a trip to Vietnam with my family. We went on a mission trip. We did medical clinics. We visited orphanages. We had a great time. It's a really sweet time to see my girls, who are now 14 and 15. I was talking to somebody about it the other day, and it sounded like I was describing Goldilocks. So I was like, it's like they're finding their chair. You know how you have like a chair that's your chair? It might be the toilet. That's okay. The only place where people leave you alone. It's not very comfortable, but it's quiet. It's quiet. It's got its good points. But it's really cool to see them find their gifts and shine in those gifts. It's been really, really cool for me to see them use, like my oldest daughter, Emmy. She's a perfectionist, which sometimes makes it hard for her to make a decision because she doesn't want to make the wrong decision. And at the medical clinics, the first one we went to in Haiti, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about, she was on intake, which was taking blood pressure and heart rate and finding out what was going on with people. And she had to make these really important things, like, how many, did I pump it enough time? I don't even know how to take blood pressure. And there she was. And once she figured out how to do it, she just shined in that. And then you've got my daughter, Mia, who I get to see with this beautiful, nurturing heart. Every time I see her on a mission trip, she's got a kid in her hand, or she's hugging somebody with leprosy, or she's kissing somebody's face who just had cataract surgery. She's got this great, nurturing, caring, loving heart. And it's been really cool to see them use their gifts. But anyway, like I said, we went to Haiti in February as well. And so this was our second trip as a family. And I'm going to share with you guys a little bit about our Haiti trip as part of this message. I've shared this message before. I shared it at a women's event in Whittier a while back, and I could not wait to share it with you guys. I was like, oh my gosh, the women of Refuge need to hear this message. So it's a little bit of leftovers. Are you guys okay with that? But it's only been used once. I only took one bite out of it. No, I'm just kidding. So we went on a mission trip to Haiti. And like I said, we go with an organization that has doctors and nurses, and we get to volunteer all over the place. It's super cool. You know all about those medical missions. So we met this little baby, and we actually have a picture of him, if Josh can pull it up. It's just the one with the little baby in it. His name is Edison. Isn't he cute? Edison was 8 months old, but he's the size of about a four-month-old. He was brought to our medical clinic by his big brother, Eski, who was all of 9 years old. He was kind of the star of the medical clinic that day. I mean, how could he not be? He's so stinking cute. So he came in, and this beautiful woman, Pam, who you only see her arm, but she was this beautiful, lovely woman who held him, kissed him, hugged on him the whole time. And what we found about baby Edison was that he had been born with HIV and syphilis, among other things. And that his big brother, Eski, had already lost a baby sister. She had already passed away. So he had brought his brother because his mom, obviously, also had HIV, syphilis, and they thought he might have had some other things as well. And on those trips, I found out more about HIV and these other things than I ever knew before. And what I found was that syphilis affects your brain. So his mom wasn't really capable of taking care of him. So we had to give his brother the bad news that his little baby brother was very, very sick. So we all kind of left a little disappointed that day. I mean, all we could really give him was water and hugs and love, because you need to be on lifetime medications, right? And we're just there for one day. So we can give you a multivitamin, or we could give you something to help your headache or your stomach ache. So you know when you feel like you wish you could do more for somebody and you kind of walk away, I see a lot of nodding heads, and you just have to say, okay, Lord, I'm responsible for what you put in front of me at this moment. So we had to leave, and let's fast forward a little bit because we're going to come back to him, because God wasn't done with little baby Edison. We had our flight back, and we had a layover in Miami. Miami. Welcome to Miami. Does anybody know that song? Bienvenidos a Miami. You know. I kept telling the youth, and they were like, what are you singing? I'm like, I'm going to show you this song. So every time you see a sign that says, welcome to Miami, you're going to sing it in your head now. You're welcome. So anyway. So we landed in Miami, and the customs system is so very flawed. Can we just, I won't even explore that for a minute. Completely flawed. We all got split up. We all got separated. And only 10 out of the 30 of us were in a group together, which thankfully I had told some moms that I was going to bring their teenage girls back home to them safe. Luckily, they were part of the 10. Yes. So 10 out of 30 of us missed our flight. So you know when you're stressed out, when you feel like you're going to miss a flight, but once you miss it, there's nothing you can do about it. So we were waiting at the counter. It's about 10 o'clock at night. We're waiting for our vouchers, our hotel, all of that. We get to the hotel at about 10 to 11. We have vouchers to eat dinner there, and the restaurant closes at 11. And I was like, okay, you guys will get this. Hold on. I was like, is there any way you could stay open just a little bit later? We have these vouchers. We've been in Haiti doing medical missions. We've been saving lives. All of these youth are so tired and hungry, you know. And so they made a call, and they stayed open late for us. How cool is that? But we were sitting in the restaurant, and all of a sudden this couple comes over who I instantly recognized. I had seen them in the Haiti airport. They were this couple named Keith and Candace, and they had a little daughter from Haiti that they had adopted. Her name was Ketley. I know. It's going to get really cool. I'm so excited. Okay. So they came up and started talking to us. Hey, didn't we see you in Haiti? We said, yeah, we did. And I told little Ketley, oh, I remember you. You have a hippopotamus on your backpack, and I remember it's so cute, blah, blah, blah. So they start talking to Iggy, who is our doctor with us, and guess what they do in Haiti? They run a clinic that provides HIV and AIDS medications for free in the very town that baby Edison lives in, right? I have goosebumps, and it happened like back in February. I've heard this story and told this story multiple times, and it still gives me goosebumps. Because God sent this rescue plan, all these people, to go for this little tiny baby. Isn't that cool? And if you were the one that needed rescuing, God would do the exact same thing. Do you believe that tonight? Raise your hand if you believe that tonight. And guess what? He wouldn't just do it. He has done it. He came and he rescued you. He gave you new purpose. All we could give baby Edison was love and prayer and water. But God gave you new life and new purpose. Oh, I wanted to show you a picture of Keith and Candace and Ketley. Sorry. So you see them in the middle. There's my husband, Jesse, and I, and then the youth that were with us, Keith and Candace and their daughter Ketley. And we were able to connect them with baby Edison. And some of the youth who went on our trip pulled together to provide funds for baby Edison to have formula, for his big brother to have food. Isn't that cool? Hi, Tina. I didn't see you. Sorry, I'm seeing everybody and I'm waving at them. I'm happy you're all here. I just didn't see my friend when I came in. But God put all of these people together to rescue them. And you know, you think about all that stuff. If we had shown up in that restaurant 10 minutes later, we wouldn't have seen them. If we hadn't missed our flight, we wouldn't have seen them. And my daughter, Emmy, right after we found out what they do in that town, she goes, this is why we're here. This is why we missed our flight. Isn't that cool? God has a purpose for everything. Every single one of us is so incredibly important, valued, and necessary. As long as we are breathing breath on this earth, you are important, valued, and seen. I loved the drama that my aunt, do you know she's my aunt? Yes. I'm so glad she got to share her gift with us. I'm so glad that she shared that. She didn't know what I was speaking on. And it completely reinforces everything that we're talking about tonight. Everybody's like, wow, 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 that's really great. See? I see you all out there like, oh. Because we know, right? We go, oh, because we're like, that's God. That's worship to God right there. Without music, that's worship. We're saying, that was you, God. That was you. Isaiah 43, if you're taking notes, great. If you're not, that's okay. You can read this later. But I'm going to read it to you in the Shannon version anyway, so you may not be able to find that one online. This is why I bring my friends, because they laugh the loudest at my jokes. Okay, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. Don't be afraid. I have come for you. I know your name, because you are mine. This is God speaking to us. When you're waist deep in troubled waters, can you picture that? A rushing river. Have you ever had to walk through a river that's rushing a little faster than you thought it was? When you're waist deep in those troubled waters, I'll be with you. And when the river is up to your chin, you won't be dragged away. Even when you walk through fiery trials, you won't be burned up. Because you are so precious to me, I give you a place of honor, and I love you. Those are God's words to you tonight. You are His. He came for you because He loves you. And I know we know that, especially if you're raised in the church, Jesus loves me. We all know that, but we forget sometimes, don't we? And because we were created for God, we have inherent value. Do you know there's a word inherent and there's a word inherit? I'm a grammar geek. Do you guys want to hear my grammar joke? You have to promise to laugh, even if you don't think it's funny. Okay, so my grammar joke. You got to listen. Okay, you ready? How many teachers in the room? Raise your hand if you're a teacher. A homeschool mom too. You're a teacher too. You'll get this. Okay, you ready? I before E, except after C. Weird. Okay. Weird, in case you've been misspelling it up until this moment. Weird is W-E-I-R-D. Ba-dum-bum. All right. Let's get back to our message, shall we? Inherit and inherent are two completely different words. Inherit is something that you receive. I'm going to read the definition. It means to receive property such as cash, securities, property, or title at the death of the previous owner. Something you receive only when somebody dies. It can also be taken from you. If I inherit a lot of money, I would probably get rid of it really fast. I'm just going to be honest. If I have something that's inherent, the definition is it means intrinsic, something that is an essential characteristic, a part of something that is inseparable from that thing. Because God loves you, because God made you, you have an inherent value, which means it cannot be taken away from you. Ever. No matter what, it cannot be removed from you. That means that no matter what you've walked through, no matter what's been done to you, no matter what you've done, that value remains. You're so important to God, so loved by God, no matter what. It's a part of you. I was born with brown eyes. I will always have brown eyes. They're a part of me. God's value on me will never, ever change. Aren't you thankful for that? And I think that if we look at it and we go, okay, if it's inherent, it can't be added to and it can't be taken away. Every single one of us in this room has the same measure of value, which means that we can't say, oh, she's so much better than I am. Because it's really saying, well, God probably loves her better because her hair's prettier than mine. We don't say those things out loud, do we? But kind of in our mind, that's what we do. And we also do it the other way. Oh, I'm so much more loved than her because I'm wearing a dress tonight. And Jesus loves dresses because they make us look so ladylike. Unless you're me and then you move. Anyway. But doesn't it blow anybody else's mind in here when you go, okay, I have an inherent value by God. I am loved, period. Can't be taken away from me, ever. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. It should change how we look at each other and how we look at ourselves. What kind of freedom would we walk in if we really, really believe that about ourselves? Because like the clip we watched from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, she changes when she knows she's loved. I always say a woman who knows she's loved lives differently, right? God sees worth in us. He knows that we're valued and that as long as we are breathing breath, what did I say before? We are necessary. We are valuable. Have any of you ever felt unnecessary or unnoticed or unwanted or invisible? Raise your hand. Let me rephrase that. Any moms or wives in the room? There's so much on us sometimes, right? Where it's easy for us to feel like nobody notices. I think I say it out loud probably more than most of you do. I'm like, oh, I guess this laundry just magically appears on your bed, and I guess these dishes just magically get done. Right, Mia? I wish you could have seen her face. Her eyes got really big, like, oh, yeah. I'm definitely not the quiet one in the family. It's easy for us to feel beat up and used up and rough on ourselves, unappreciated, but don't let that lead you to thinking that you have no value, that you don't matter. Because you know what those are? Lies from the devil himself. The devil hates that God loves us. The devil hates that God is preparing a place for us in heaven. Because guess where he wants us? In hell. Period. So whatever he can do to get us there and get our mind off of the Lord and how much he loves us, he's going to go for that. And you know what he loves to do? He loves to get us away, right? This is why we do these events. Don't stay away. Don't isolate. The enemy loves to isolate us. I isolate. When I'm not well, mentally or any other way, when I'm not doing well, I don't really feel like being around anybody. I don't feel like texting my friend and hanging out. I feel like getting alone. That makes me more vulnerable, right? Have you ever watched National Geographic? That was a serious question. Which deer, wildebeest, whatever, does the lion go after? The one that's on their own, right? He wants to go after the one that's easy to get, easy to grab. Because if I'm alone and I start thinking, well, nobody texted me today. I start scrolling through my Instagram or my Facebook and I'm like, oh, well, there's a party I wasn't invited to. Oh, that's nice. There's another one that I wasn't invited to. I'm not going to like that one. So she knows that I know that I wasn't invited to that party. It's funny because it's true, right? So we get alone and we're like, I guess I'll just scroll through this thing that makes me feel terrible because I see all the things I'm not invited to, the homes that are more beautiful than mine. But you know when I'm taking a picture of my living room, right behind me is a sink full of dishes. The fact that we're loved and cherished and treasured by God should change the narrative in our mind. It should change the narrative from, does God even love me? To, okay, Lord, I know you love me. Help me to remember. Show me. How many times has he been faithful to you to show you that? To answer your prayers? Detailed prayers. I've prayed detailed prayers. Okay, Lord, cool. Show me here, right now. He shows you because he loves you. And how often do you know that hymn? I said it and it's not even there. Oh, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer, right? We just wallow in it because we won't go, Lord, help me remember. But if we're sitting there and thinking God doesn't even love me, he probably doesn't even love me. It's not true. Don't let the enemy lie to you. And you know what? It's easy for me to stand up here and tell you, God loves you. You are so valued and so treasured. You have no idea how precious you are. And if you've heard me speak ever, you've heard me say, you are in this room on purpose. You're not here by accident because you got dragged here. Who got dragged? No, I won't make you raise your hand. Why don't you stand up and we'll go ahead and pray for you? No, I'm just kidding. You're here on purpose because God wants to remind you that. But guess what? After this is over, you're going to have to go out those doors and believe it in your own heart. That's where it gets hard, huh? Because you could be sitting here and saying, yeah, God loves me, whatever. She doesn't even know me. She doesn't even know what I've gone through. She doesn't know the way that my husband talks to me. She doesn't know the way that my kids ignore me. She doesn't know that I go home to an empty house. You're right, I don't. I don't know all of you individually. I'd love to get to meet all of you individually. Here's the fact. God knows you. God knows what sort of bags you walked in here with tonight. Or maybe you had the best day of your life tonight and you're like, amen, yes, he loves me. I am valued, I am treasured, amen. Great, spread that around. Because that's why we all get together, right? I love how God kind of puts us with people who they're kind of going through a rough time when you're going through a great time, or vice versa. That's the way it works. So remember, though, that your value is permanent. We know what permanent means because we've tried to wash permanent marker off of walls, right? It can't be added to or taken away. So I may not know you individually, but I know that God loves you because he created you. He created you on purpose, just the way you are. There's no mistake. Raise your hand if you felt like a mistake ever. I'm raising mine because I felt that way before. We beat ourselves up. And we think there's tons of other people who could do what I do. There are other people who could do this laundry. There are other people who can lead worship here. There are other people who could host a small group or a prayer group or greet people at the door and do a way better job than me. But God loves you, and he puts you exactly where he wants you at that moment. So I've only got 3 points for you guys to remember tonight. Can we remember them? Well, you're like, tell me what they are first, and then I'll let you know if I can remember them. They're really easy to remember. It's kind of this cycle that we all go through constantly. Don't you get tired of the cycle, though? Do you ever go, Lord, could you just, like, put duct tape over the enemy's mouth, tie his hands behind his head. Well, sure, that'll work. We're back. Whichever one is worse. Tie him up and get him off my back. Because he just sits there, doesn't he? He loves to whisper in our ear. He loves to hit those points that hurt us the most. And guess what? He loves that low-hanging fruit. Sure, I'll take that one. That one's easy. She's already down. He's a jerk. Because he's not happy to just knock us down. Once we're down, he kicks us when we're down. What does the Bible say? The devil comes to make you unhappy. The devil comes to shake things up a bit. No, what does the Bible say? To kill, to steal, destroy. He wants to take us to hell. It's a real place. Guess what? We get to be strong enough to stand up and say, no, I know who I am. All right, let's talk about these steps because it's getting a little intense in here. I'm sweating. Okay, moving on. 3 steps. The very first step in this cycle is that we realize who we really are. We realize what I've told you tonight. If this is the first time you've ever heard that you are valued, necessary, and treasured by God, I'm so stoked because it changes everything. We realize who we really are. Ephesians 1:4, you can jot this down if you'd like to. He chose you before he even started creating the world. Who thinks oceans are beautiful? Mountains, rivers, waterfalls. I could think of 100 things that are more beautiful than I am. But he chose me. And he chose you over all of that to have a relationship with him. How crazy is that? That boggles my mind. Because most of the time, I feel like a basket case. But God's like, but I chose you before I even started creating the world. He chose us to be holy and blameless. And it's taken me a long time to know that about myself. I walked up and received the Lord when I was 3 years old. And my dad says my whole life changed. I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. Changed everything. And I walked through my life, and life beats you up. And you know what? When I was in junior high, high school, if a boy didn't say I was pretty, then I thought, well, I guess I'm not pretty. But as long as he was saying I was pretty, then I'm probably pretty. Oh, if they didn't think I was funny, then I'm probably not funny. Oh, well, if they don't think I'm important, then I guess I'm not important. Lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. And you guys, I would say that it was probably about 10 years ago that I really started to realize how valued and treasured I was. I'm 41. Oh, I hate saying that out loud. I'm 41. You can do the math. I went up and received Jesus when I was 3, and 10 years ago, God rocked my world and said, but guess what? You're treasured, you're valued. But guess what happens after we realize that we're treasured and valued and loved by God? We forget. None of us is unique in our forgetfulness, are we? Because when you feel like God's left you and you feel like he's forgotten about you, you just forgot who you were. We're all so forgetful. Something happens and we go, oh, I guess God doesn't love me. We're fickle, fickle people, huh? It's easy to feel forgotten. And I don't want to lighten any sort of burden that you're walking with today. Because the things that we walk through are real. Some of you could be in really excruciating relationships right now. Maybe somebody close to you just passed away. And you're hurting. And you don't see, you don't understand how this is all going to work out. Don't forget in the midst of it that it doesn't matter. All these circumstances don't change your inherent value to God. Because I'll tell you what, 10 years ago, I really started to realize who I was to the Lord and how precious and treasured I was to him. But I forgot. And a couple years ago, I met with my good friend Katie here, and I was like, not in so many words, can you please help me remember? Can you please? It makes me want to cry. Please help me remember who I am. Because when you forget how loved and treasured you are, it hurts. Here's the truth, you guys. Doesn't matter how long you've been married. Doesn't matter the friendships that you've had that have been broken. People hurt us, huh? And we hurt other people. We're not always loved by other people. It sucks. Sorry, am I allowed to say that in church? Sorry, Mom. Hey, Mom. But here is what we can hold on to, you guys. People don't love us all the time. The one thing we can count on is that Jesus does. And if people don't stick around all the time, we can count on Jesus, who does. And I understand how empty that sounds, because it can sound empty. It doesn't sound empty, but listen to me if you're saying like, yeah, whatever, God's with me. Because I've been there. Oh, cool, Jesus is with me. Awesome. My husband just left, but I've got Jesus. Awesome. How is that going to help me? And I'm just saying it because I've felt it in my life before. Maybe not in that certain instance, but in other instances where I've thought, how does that help me at all? He can't watch my kids while I go do this thing. Here's how it helps me. It helps me remember who I really am, which changes the way that I live my life. This is why we do Refresh, you guys. And I know I keep coming back to this, but we need reminders. I want my husband to tell me I'm beautiful every day because I'm forgetful. And you're forgetful too. I'm not insulting you. I'm just speaking the truth. Raise your hand if you're forgetful. See, look around the room. Keep them up. Look how many forgetful women are in this room. Look how similar we are. I love when you come into a room, and you've probably heard me say this before, I would love to do women's events and write your name down on your name tag and the toughest thing you've ever walked through in your life. Because you know what would happen? Not too long into the event, you'd be like, oh, me too! And you would be able to relate with somebody who's been there and probably somebody who's on the other side and can show you the way through. Because that's what God does, you guys. That's why I always say we're in this room together on purpose for a reason. So we realize who we really are. What was the second step? You already forgot. You guys are joking me now. We realize who we really are, and then we forget who we really are. That's why that was funny, just in case you just got the joke. We forget who we really are. Number three, we remember who we really are. Aren't these easy to remember? I didn't mean that. That was funny. Your three steps are you realize who you really are, you forget, and then you remember. And then you realize who you really are, and then guess what happens? You forget! And then you remember. You know what I love, though? There's times where I'm like, nope, he's definitely not with me this time. He's definitely left this time. But if I can remember, sorry, I'm just going to keep saying remember redundantly. If I can remember what I've heard tonight, then I can remember, oh yeah, I just forgot. It's not true that God has left me. It's not true that he doesn't see my circumstances and that he doesn't see my broken heart. I just forgot for a minute who I really was. Maybe I forgot for a week. Maybe you've forgotten for a year who you really are. This is our cycle. How are you going to remember, though? It's kind of hard to remember yourself, right? Sometimes it is. There's times where I can be like, oh, I just need to remember who I am. I am chosen. I am loved. I am valued. I am treasured. But there's other times where I'm like, Katie, please help me remember. And who has a hard time admitting that they need help? Me? Heck yes. I have a really hard time. Nope, I've totally got this. I can carry this by myself. Literally and figuratively. But we need those people to remember. What happens when you lose your keys? When you forget where you put your keys? Do you just go, well, guess I don't have keys anymore. Guess I can't drive anymore. Can't get into my house anymore. Oh, well, bye keys. No, you go searching for them. Guess what happened last time I went on an international trip? I found the broccoli in the Ziploc drawer, like a couple days after I put it there. I know, it was gross. But when you lose your keys, what do? You sit and think, you retrace your steps, you go back and you remember. You have to work at it. Because guess what we do? When we're feeling forgotten, what do we pick up? Or when we're all by ourselves. Remember how I told you what we do when we're by ourselves? We isolate and then we scroll through and we think about all the people who've forgotten about us. Yep, I'm forgotten. This just confirms it for me. Forgotten, forgotten, forgotten. So what are some ways you can remember? You can pick up the word. You can read the word. But have you ever walked through a time where you can't even do that? Where that feels too hard? I know I have. Where I'm like, I can't. You could turn on a worship song. Let that wash over you. Maybe that's how you remember. Sometimes, girls, we got to get up. And we need to text our friend and be like, and now after tonight, you guys have been here together. So you got a code word now, a code sentence. Please help me remember who I am. Please pray that I'll remember who I am. How cool is that, you guys? This is what Refresh, again, this is what Refresh is for. You guys all heard this message together. So you all get to help keep each other accountable. So if I come to you and I'm like, man, this is so useless. Why am I doing this? This doesn't matter. And Sarah can go, oh, you just forgot. Let me help you remember. Right? We get to keep each other accountable now. Maybe your ministry doesn't feel like it's fruitful. Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, these junior hires don't care what I say. I will be very honest with you. I've been leading worship for youth, and there are some days where I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and put this down and just, I'll go. It's fine. I'll leave. Because you're trying to cultivate that heart of worship. You're trying to help them remember and know who they really are. And I can go home and be like, oh my gosh, this doesn't matter. They don't even care. I'm forgetting that God is leading me on my path, right? What are the three steps? You realize who you really are. Then what happens? You forget. Ha ha, you remembered. Then what happens? See, I gave you a hint. You got it. You got it. You realize who you are. You forget. And then you remember. And it doesn't matter who you are. Single, married, student, junior hire, doesn't matter what age you are, which is why we love doing this for all ages, junior high and up. Because we can all get in here together. And you ladies who have lived more life than us, you can remind us that we're going to be okay. When our only quiet place is the bathroom, you can remind us there will be more quiet places that we will hope. We'll wish they were noisier someday. And all you moms who are in that place, you're like, yes, it's too quiet in my house now. We're so fickle, so funny. Go back to what you know, not what you don't know. I hope that you're walking away tonight knowing that you're valued. You keep hearing me say it. Inseparable. Cannot be removed from you. Nothing you've done has changed how much God loves you. And we hear that so many times that it kind of loses its, como se dice, it loses its oomph, punch. Thank you, Terry. It loses its punch. See? Terry helped me remember. Thank you, Terry. But you have to fight for what you know is true sometimes, huh? We can't just sit there and wallow and be like, well, nobody's coming for me. Nobody's texted me. We can't go up on Facebook and be like, wah. Right? I'm responsible to go after what I need to go after so God can remind me who I am. I can reach out to people and not feel like I'm a burden to them. Don't you feel like a burden sometimes? I know I do. I feel like, ugh, I feel like I'm always complaining about something. Oh, I'm not feeling good today. Oh, I feel sad today. Guess what? I love when my friends text me and say, I'm having a really hard time. Can you pray with me? Isn't it a privilege to be able to stand in that place for somebody? So let me tell you right now, you're not a burden. That is not in my notes, P.S. So if you, whoever you are, you walked in here tonight and you feel like you are a burden, that is a lie from the enemy. Because if he can make you feel like a burden, he can keep you from telling anybody what's going on in your life, and he can keep you alone. He's not picky. He goes after the one that's all by themselves, not the meatiest one that's running the fastest. He's going to go after you when you're on your own. Don't feel like a burden. You are surrounded in this room by women who have walked through stories that you've walked through. And I don't care who has told you you're a burden. It's not true. That is not true about you. Okay? Okay. Okay, we'll move on now. Just want to make sure you hear me. But we have to repeat through that and repeat through that and repeat through that, right? You realize who you really are, then you forget, and then you remember. Do you remember baby Edison? Yes. He wasn't the only person that Jesus came for that day. Remember how I told you the restaurant stayed open late for us? Well, there were two people working that night, and their names were Raquel and Jonathan. And another note, this was the first trip that I had been on with my whole family and not just my husband and I. And so it was very different. And so I was kind of trying to find out, like, why am I here? What is the point of me being here? You guys, if you know me, I'm a worship leader, right? And I'm like, I'm not leading worship anywhere. I'm not really doing anything. I'm just here. Why am I here? I was feeling very unnecessary. So that night, we're all over here celebrating at our table like, oh my gosh, you guys, they have a clinic in Haiti in the very town that Edison's in. This is amazing. And we're all celebrating as our team. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to tell the people in the restaurant. And so I run over and I go and I'm like, Raquel, Jonathan, you guys have to hear this. This is what just happened. And I told them the whole story about baby Edison. And I was like, and you stayed open late for us. And if you hadn't stayed open late for us, we wouldn't have been able to sit next to them. And we wouldn't have found out that they have a clinic in Haiti to care for baby Edison. You woke up this morning maybe thinking you don't have any purpose. But guess what? You just helped save a baby in Haiti. Boom. I was like, if you ever, and okay, I told my mom the story when I came home and she goes, you're such an evangelist. I was like, no, I can't stand that kind of stuff. I don't ever know what to say and I'm so scared. I was just so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to tell them this because they were a part of it. I was like, if you ever wake up and you feel like you don't matter, you can remember today. You have a plan and a purpose on your life, and you need to know that. And I was so excited. And they were like, oh my gosh, I have chills. Because they had these really thick accents. Sarah, she's like, all right. And then we were all walking up to our rooms, and I was like, hang on, I have to go pray for them. So I go back to Raquel and Jonathan. Again, not my thing. I'm really good with speaking to crowds. You put me one-on-one, I'm all, so, what's your favorite color? And then as they tell me their favorite color, I'm all, the next question will be, oh, it's your favorite food, you know? But God put this excitement in me to tell these people that we came for them too. So God didn't just come for baby Edison. God came for Raquel and Jonathan. And guess what else? God came for me. Because I walked back up to my room that night by myself, and I put my key in the thing. Very eloquent, I know. And I felt God say to me, this is why you were here. When the whole time we were gone, I was like, why am I even here? I'm just a mom of the teenage girls who are here. And he said, this is why you were here. So God lets us be a gift to others, and that ends up being our gift. Guess what? We got to be a gift to them. They were a gift to me. Now I get to give you a gift. But guess what? You are my extra sprinkles. You know what extra sprinkles are? Something you don't need, first of all. But something that's awesome and like, you know, the little flair, the extra that God's like, hang on, wait, watch this. So while I was so excited about baby Edison, he was like, hang on, here come Raquel and Jonathan. And then as I put my key in the door, he just went, bring. And I came for you too. And God came for you tonight. You guys, God never ever gives up on us. He sees what you're walking through, and you got to be my extra sprinkles tonight because the story didn't end in Miami. I get to give that to you guys, and now you guys get to take this whole, hey, guess what? I'm valued, and I'm treasured, and I'm loved, no matter what stage of life I'm in. So God came for you tonight, too, and if you came here again, you're in this room, can anybody remember what I always say? On purpose. On purpose, because God wanted to remind you just how much he loves you. Because we're forgetful, right? But guess what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to forget. And I don't say that to discourage you. I say that to tell you, you are so normal. Just like the rest of us who forget, we have a responsibility to remind each other who we really are when we've forgotten, right? And to tell somebody, oh, I'm so sad that you've forgotten who you really are. I think it's amazing how God has created us all in such a way that we can all come in here, again, be here on purpose, but we're walking through something that somebody else needs to hear that story. You know, when you're in a tunnel and somebody's like, oh, the light's almost at the end of the tunnel, you're like, nope. I just see black. But they've gone through to the other end. And like I said before, they can help you navigate that. So I don't want you guys to leave tonight without letting somebody remind you if you need reminding. And we're not going to close with worship or anything like that because like I told you guys at the beginning, worship has very little to do with music. Right? Okay, quick little lesson here. It's a little off topic, but that's okay. I have a little time. What's the first time that worship is mentioned in the Bible? It's a pop quiz. It's in the book of Genesis. Morgan knows. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain. Good job, Morgan. Morgan's one of our worship leaders back in youth, which I'm stoked about. The reason I tell you that is because anything we do is worship when it's glorifying God, right? in our conversations with one another. When you're reminding somebody who they really are, you're worshiping God. When someone's telling you you've forgotten, oh, you've forgotten who you really are. That's worship to God. So I don't want you guys to leave tonight if you're feeling like, yeah, I would love for somebody to remind me. If me yapping up here for the last 45 minutes wasn't enough of a reminder, I can yap at you some more after so we can free everybody else up. But I know Katie would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. My mom would love to pray with you. We would love to remind you guys of who you really are. And that, again, is why we created this, to give you more opportunities to come together with women who maybe you don't see all the time. We have a Tuesday women's Bible study that meets in the morning and the evenings. And if you're not a part of that right now, I encourage you to go. If you can't, maybe you have to work, maybe you have kids, whatever it is, that's okay. But there's groups of women in here who would love to hang out with you. And sometimes we just kind of have to reach out, right? So the 3 points one more time, and then I'm going to pray and let you guys go. What's the first one? We realize who we really are, right? I should have made them all R's, but I didn't. Sorry. Realize who we really are. Then what happens? We forget. And then what happens? So next time you forget, recognize it as you've just forgotten. Don't recognize it as a change of the truth. Oh, God's forgotten. Oh, nope. I've forgotten who I really am. Because you have an inherent value that cannot be added to or taken away from. Have I harped on that point enough for you tonight? So your value to God is inseparable from you. It doesn't change. So let's pray. Oh God, we come before you, and I just want to worship you by thanking you for being with us tonight, Lord. I thank you that before you created this whole wide world, you chose us to have a relationship with you. And even now, Lord, in the hearts that are hurting, the hearts that are broken, the hearts that have forgotten who they really are, Lord, would you help them to remember even now? I pray that your Holy Spirit would come in and wash away all of those lies that have been spoken over them by other people, by themselves, by the enemy. Lord, would you wash that away and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your words of truth over us, that we're beautiful in your sight, that we matter, that nothing can take away the love that you have for us. I thank you, God, that you don't forget about us. I pray that you would make us strong women who, when we forget, we would be bold and brave and ask for somebody to remind us. That we would go to you and say, God, I forgot. Help me remember. I pray that you would seal us, that you would seal in that remembrance of who we really are to you, Lord. That it would make us turn around and worship you and give you our lives. Because the life that you have mapped out for us, your word says, is above and beyond anything we could ever even think to ask for. So, Lord, would you go before us tonight? Would you seal these things in our mind, Lord? Help us to remember. And when we forget, I pray that you would help us to be reminded again. Help us to be a group of women that are tightly knitted with one another, that we would hold each other accountable, that we would be able to see when our friend has forgotten and go remind her. I pray that you would help us not to be prideful, that you would help us to not be insecure, to step out of ourselves and be that remembrance for somebody else. We thank you for being here with us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Jesus, we worship you. Thank you.
stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.